This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
John Pryor, that is the attorney for Chad Daybell. And as have many people who've come across the path of Chad or Lori Daybell, they get sucked in. They think maybe there's something here. Maybe there's something good here. You're an attorney and you're taking up the case of Chad Daybell. I would hope that maybe that's your intention, not just to get publicity and notoriety. That would be the wrong reason to take up a case. But this far in, he's been with him almost 3 years. And then suddenly, 3 months out from the trial date of Chad Daybell, suddenly John Pryor wants out. He's realized the hellish trifecta of evil that he stepped into, known as Chad and Lori Daybell. He went to court the other day, asked the judge, can I please step away from this? This is not something that I think is going to work out well. I'm not a death qualified or death penalty qualified attorney, which he knew all along. This was a death penalty case. And I'm not getting paid. Chad can't pay me. I think he probably already knew that Chad is going to run out of money at some point in time. Not necessarily valid reasons to leave the case. At least that's what the judge ended up saying. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Are you surprised by this? At 3 months out, the attorney for Chad Daybell says, I want out.
I hate smiling because this was such a horrible case of the children, the victims. But I read this, and I'm like, oh, Chad's hosed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he is hosed. I mean, he is just hosed because his attorney sees the writing on the wall. I mean, it's going to go down the same way that Lori went down in a ball of flames with them being behind bars, if not more, mm-hmm. for the rest of his life, if not taking his life. So it doesn't surprise me, you know, because again, the attorney was completely witting of the sound, at least from what I read, you know, his financial ability to pay for this, the nature of that was going to be a death penalty case. I mean, all these things were well known ahead of time, and he wants out. And who wouldn't want out? Because it's a losing case. There's no doubt in my mind it's a losing case. And I don't think there's anything he can do to save him.
Is that the reason why you think he chose right now to finally get out? Do you think he thought maybe we have a road to go down here? Maybe there's something. And then did Chad throw a curveball in at the end other than not paying his attorney? I'm just wondering if there's something contextual to this case that we're missing, that we're not aware of going on behind the scenes that would cause him to say, I want out. Because it's not like any of these facts were not already known about Chad Daybell.
Yeah, I agree. And we've chatted about with him before with Chad, and that is our theory. Again, I guarantee there's tons of things we don't know about this case, you know, that's going on behind the scenes, and our limited data points we get from the media are limited at that, as we said. I think it is probably, again, we'll throw our conjecture hat on, our thought experiment, that the attorney was hoping and thinking logically that we're going to throw Lori under the bus, that Chad was a dupe, and all of a sudden Chad's changed his mind and no longer wants to throw Lori under the bus. And so I think his only string, again, I'm conjecture. Not an attorney, I'm just the average Joe here, but I would think that his only hope of having not a death penalty induced or something or reduced in some way, or his only argument or rationalization behind everything, that it was Lori, which everyone would believe.
Yeah,
I would believe it. I mean, it looks, because she's baddie. I mean, she is out there. She's got a very broken brain, and it is easy to see that she was a charismatic one in the relationship. You know, again, I call it cult light, because it's very cult like in what they did, except the cult only has one leader at the front. And mm-hmm. this was, it was kind of a twosome.
Yeah.
So, but I think if I'm theorizing from what we know in the limited data points, I think the ability to throw Lori under the bus was undermined by Chad's maybe lack of willingness to do it. Maybe that's why the lawyer backed out.
Well, it's interesting considering that there already was a statement made that was blaming Lori from the attorney, from John Pryor a couple months ago, on behalf of Chad Daybell, that very much outlined that direction of basically yep. stating Lori was the mastermind behind all of these things. In Lori's trial, as I remember, she did not want to throw Chad under the bus. for any reason. She was very upset with her attorneys when, in closing arguments, they finally did say something because they were backed against a wall. I don't think any had anything else that they could have possibly said. So it does make you wonder, did Chad have a change of heart? Did somehow Lori manipulate? I don't know if manipulate is even the right word with these two people. Did they somehow, you know, re-merge their madness together from behind bars, I don't know, through letters or something that has allowed this to, I don't know, to rekindle? I question even like the amount of communication that they're even able to have with one another for that to take place. But I suppose that could happen just within the mind of Chad himself, considering the other magical thinking he's been capable of.
That's what I think has happened. Again, limited data points, pure conjecture, but from that, like you said, I remember talking about it with you, you know, when that statement came out from the lawyer and it sounded like, hey, Chad's going to throw her under the bus in the trial. And I'm like, excellent. Mm-hmm. That's exactly, it made a lot of sense to us. And we're saying, oh, this is actually, it'll be really interesting to see him do that. I was really kind of excited to see him do that. Boy, that's the wrong word. But all of a sudden reversed. And the only thing that I can think of that would cause that reversal is just that he had a change of heart because of something. You know, there's anytime the ship is heading in one direction, again, along that arc of travel, and all of a sudden there's a deviation, that means something happened that we're unaware of in that whole process. And so that's what we're making our conjecture on. And the only one from their limited data points is I think that he had a change of heart about throwing her under the bus.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now